Listen to the voices of our world.
These soldiers are coming here to learn soldiering. They are learning the art of killing. They are learning how to use weapons.
There is not one example of anyone taking a course or courses at the School of the Americas and later using that information to commit a crime.
They teach counterinsurgency warfare. They focus armies on the civilian population. It's not a matter of bad apples. That's what they are doing.
The reality is that the only way we would close is if Congress decided to close us, because the military side of the U.S. government likes what we do and want us to continue it.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. Sitting in for Eileen Bott, I'm your host, Howard Schwartz. In the hands of the current administration, American power has increasingly led to American isolation. Our preemptive invasion of Iraq and the numerous human rights scandals such as Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo, and the secret prisons in Europe have shown the world that in practice, our foreign policy has little to do with our lofty rhetoric about spreading democracy and freedom. This heavy-handed foreign policy has turned much of the world against us, while making them suspicious of America's true motives. To sum it up, they simply don't trust us anymore. Yet, when we look more closely at the long history between U.S. foreign policy and South American politics, we see a more complex relationship, one that has more to do with exporting terror than spreading democracy. Today we explore the controversy around the School of the Americas, now known as WINSEC, the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, and how it may directly or indirectly be responsible for training and teaching many foreign students how to assist and support dictators in the criminal and violent oppression, torture, and exploitation of their citizens. We are joined by Lee Riles, the Public Affairs Officer for WINSEC, and Father Roy Bourgeois, founder of the School of America's Watch. The U.S. has always been an education magnet for much of the world's youth. The best and brightest students from around the globe have come to America for a top-notch education and a chance to achieve dreams that could never be realized in their own countries. In addition to the many foreign students attending public and private American universities, many countries also send top military students to America to receive training from the U.S. government. Once trained, ideally, these students will also return to their home countries as ambassadors for the virtues of an American education. Previously known as the School of the Americas, WINSEC is the most famous, or perhaps infamous, of the U.S. government military schools. Located at Fort Benning, Georgia, WINSEC has had a long history of involvement in the politics of South America. Historically, many WINSEC students have indeed returned to their home countries to share what they learned while in America, and the consequences for their citizens were deadly. Lee Riles, WINSEC's public affairs officer, tells our Eleanor Ostrinsky about WINSEC's history and the controversy surrounding it.
Introduce yourself and tell us where we are.
I'm Lee Riles. We are at the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, a Department of Defense institute that is on Fort Benning, Georgia.
And it's a very impressive base. Tell me a little bit about the school and its history.
Well, the history of the infantry school and of Fort Benning goes back to 1918. The Western Hemisphere Institute came here, or actually opened here in 2001. But its predecessor in this same building was the Army School of the Americas, which came from Panama in 1984.
And then it was known as the School of the Americas, and then it changed its name, or Congress changed its name.
I think the Congress thought that they would lose this opportunity to interact with the other countries in this hemisphere if they retained the name of School of the Americas. So School of the Americas Watch can certainly take credit, I think, for the fact that Congress closed the school. But because they wanted to keep this kind of interaction, cooperation going, they opened the institute. And for those who may be particularly attuned to political things, you might be interested to know that that change was actually signed by President Clinton as part of the Defense Authorization Bill for 2001. So when the School of the Americas closed in 2000, we opened in January of 2001.
So how do students come here, and how many students are there here?
Well, at the moment, there are only about 55 students here because this is a professional education, and students come for a course, and then they return to their jobs. The courses that we have in session right now are the only year-long course we have. It's called our Command and General Staff Officer course. That has 49 students. 25 of them are U.S. military officers. One is a Canadian military officer, and the other 25 or 24 are from Latin American countries, a variety of Latin American countries. And interestingly, they're not all military. Some of them are also police from those countries.
Can you tell me a little bit about, just your name is for security and cooperation. What is the process of cooperation?
Actually, in the law that created us, it talks about the education part, the classes, but it also talks about fostering regional cooperation. And we do that by the classes that we offer meet the needs of the countries. For example, we just had the graduation of a sergeant's professional development course. And that course is the only one that we have each year that's taught in English. The students in that were 15 students from a variety of the Caribbean basin nations. So the reason they want to come here, even though it's in English, rather than, say, to the infantry school, is because they feel part of this hemisphere. And they like the opportunity to take a course here and not only get acquainted with each other from their various countries, but with the guest instructors who are from this hemisphere. Because all of our countries are facing the same sorts of challenges, the same kinds of things. Drug running and drug use and that sort of thing is common. Also, for example, we have civil military operations courses which teach people how to respond to disasters. In fact, our students in those kinds of courses also get the opportunity to go downtown and actually participate in emergency management exercises with local officials and state officials and the NGOs like the Red Cross and other agencies that typically work in disaster relief.
This is Voices of Our World. If you're just joining us, we're talking to the Public Affairs Officer for WINSEC, Lee Riles. The controversy and protests aimed at WINSEC have increased. Many critics see WINSEC's history and mission as proof of the U.S. government's participation in the many coups and assassinations that have so badly damaged stability in South America. But is it just a bizarre coincidence that so many WINSEC students have gone on to commit such brutally violent and criminal acts against their own people? We continue our discussion with WINSEC's Lee Riles.
In the earlier years, you know, the 70s, the 80s, the U.S. policy towards Central America and Latin America was very different than it is now. Now there's a lot of trade agreements. And so I'm wondering, how has that shifted your teachings in school?
When we teach somebody here a specific course and send him back to be better at his job, that has little to do with our country's policy or their country's policy. It has to do with being a better person and a better trained individual at your job. So it's an attempt not only to make these militaries and police forces more professional, it's also to make them more receptive or better instill the idea that they're there to serve and protect their people.
Now, that may be called into some question. For example, in Guatemala in the 1980s had probably the largest army of any of the Central American countries, but the idea that they were protecting their own people is a little bit in question, since there are hundreds of thousands of people killed, or almost 200,000 people killed by Guatemala's own military.
There's no question that many of these countries have come through terrible periods in their histories, terrible treating their own people terribly. That fact is sometimes reflected in that this year we only have two Guatemalans coming to the Institute. And that's a result, a direct result, of past activities in Guatemala that caused our government to say, you can take some of our courses, but you can't take others, because it's very much limited. And in some cases, and for some periods of time, countries such as Guatemala have been denied any U.S. training.
But not during those years. I mean, you do have graduates of you know, military leaders that were in those very that did operate through those bloody years.
Well, first of all, in my simple way of looking at things, I think I said it sort of was an example of the fact that if you claim the good, then you have to take responsibility for the bad. So to say that someone, for example, committed a crime and had been a student at the School of the Americas, there's no connection unless you can make the connection by saying, and I like to say, there is not one example of anyone taking a course or courses at the School of the Americas or at the Institute and later using that information to commit a crime. Not one.
I thought that the UN Truth Commission that talked about their findings in El Salvador did actually implicate a few School of the Americas graduates when they were investigating the killings that were happening in El Salvador.
I didn't say that nobody, that there were not people who attended some course or courses at the School of the Americas or its predecessors who didn't later commit crimes. That's a fact. But the Truth Commission, in keeping with, I guess, U.S. standards of law, looked at individuals who did things and essentially accused those individuals of doing things. They did not say this person went to this school or this person attended this academy or anything of the sort. And it's in keeping with our standards of holding people responsible for their own acts.
So how would you challenge, you know, the School of the Americas watch? What would you say, what sort of proof would you like them to come up with to continue with this debate?
As I said, I was on a radio station in Michigan and presented my side of the story. And I would just say again, if you think we do something wrong, then please tell us what it is.
Does U.S. foreign policy reflect American values? Email us at radio@marynoel.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. You can call us at 877-MARY-KNOWLL. That's 877-MARY-KNOLL. You're listening to Voices of Our World.